men that understand the workings of the Holy Ghost have the capacity to change conditions. The capacity to change conditions, it's a kingdom entrustment. You can't gain the kingdom if it is not a priority.
Yes, this is the kingdom message. Get ready and fasten your seat belts as the servant of God, the lead pastor of KDC Love and Mercy Church, Pastor Stephen Enoku, drives us through the mysteries of the Word of God. Be blessed as you listen.
The priority of a glorious life, part 2. The priority of a glorious life, part 2. I want you to understand that life and existence can only be clearly understood from the mind of the one that created it. Life and existence can only be well understood when the one that created it makes it understandable to you. My small room of blessed memory said, nobody knows the purpose of a thing more than the manufacturer. God is the initiator of life. The Bible says in Genesis 1, in the beginning, God. I want to remind every one of us this day that God is the one that initiated life. And listen to this. Now him understand life. You know, sometimes we look at our friends, I don't even understand this life. This life self, I don't understand. We may not understand life, but there is a God that understands life. David said, give me understanding so that I can live. Life will be a struggle if God do not open you to understanding. He is the one who created life. Number 2, God has times and seasons in his hands. God has times and seasons in his hands. God knows when the barren will have suckling. God knows when the jobless will have a job. God knows when adversity and affliction will end. God knows when that problem will expire. He knows it. Because he's all-knowing. He's omniscient. It is only fools that doubt the capacity of the great God. It's only fools. David said, it is only a fool that said there is no God. So, I want to remind you today that no matter the challenges of life, God understands life. He knows how. It was Anna, that was speaking in 1 Samuel 2. He said, God knows how to pick the beggar from the dunghill and set him on a place of honor. And she was speaking from experience. What was her experience? She was married without a child. Her co-wife ridiculed her. Her co-wife insulted her. Her co-wife mocked and scorned her. But everybody say one day. Everybody say one day. Honor visited her. We did not hear. We wouldn't have heard of Elkanah if not for the prophetic destiny of Samuel. I speak God's word over your life. You will not die until your family is notable. I say you will be notable. You will bring visibility to your family. There is someone in this place, hear me, because of you, they will find your location in the map. They will not just call it that place. Nobody would have spoken of Bethlehem in Judea If there was no Jesus, I speak God's word over your life. You will bring notoriety to your family. You will bring visibility to your lineage. They will no longer mock your background. They will see you and give glory to God. Amen. You will bring identity to your generation. Nobody would have talked about Bethlehem if not for Jesus. To the point, someone said, can anything good come out from Nazareth? I don't care who has given up on you. There is someone listening to me this morning. People have ridiculed you. In the secret, they have said so many things about you. And right now, it looks as though you can't even be bold to speak. But I speak God's word over your life this year. You will have the voice of God and you will speak. I said the hand of God will come on you and you will speak. That thing that they have used to mock you before, that same thing, they will come back and they will rejoice with you. That same thing, they will come back and they will congratulate you. Get ready for someone here. They will even ask you, how can I get my own? God will decorate you. I said glory will make you visible. Among the rest, you will be counted as the best. I said among the rest, you will be counted as the best. The Lord bless you in the name of Jesus. God can do all things. Anna said, he picks the beggar from the dungeon. Anusia tabalekute paratusieteliata. There is someone I see here. Last year you cried. You cried. There was so much shame around you. The Lord said this year, by the time this year is ending, you will look at yourself and you say, how? Now me be this? How it take happen? Is this me? Can this be me? Your shame are wiped away. Your pains are taken away. The hand of God is bringing it to pass. Take it in the name of Jesus. Say with me, I believe, I believe, I believe, I believe, I believe. Keep saying it, I believe, I believe, I believe. I believe, I believe, I believe, I believe. Sit up. It's not sounding well. God knows all things. He knows how to bring expiration to that which has persisted. Listen. In Exodus, the Bible says the children of Israel, they were afflicted by the princes of Egypt. They put yokes on their neck. They suffered them. They suffered them. But as the suffering increased, they cried unto God. And guess what? God heard their cry. God delivered glory to them. I speak to someone, God will deliver glory to you. As I was sleeping in the night, the thought was so strong in my spirit. God was explaining to me the difference between grace and glory. Grace is the capacity of God that makes you to do things that people wonder, how did you do it? But glory is the capacity of grace that makes people to run after what you have done. You can sweat to cook and nobody will eat the food. But when glory comes, people will be running. Even when others are trying to critique the food, say, no, this is the food we'll eat. When glory comes, glory magnifies the skill and causes to come into visibility. I speak God's word over your business. I speak God's word over your handwork. God has said this year, the works of your hands will be blessed. I command attraction over your life. You become attractive in the name of Jesus. Glory brings about attraction. Others are doing it, but people just like your own. It's called glory. The effort to bring it out is grace, but the effort for it to shine to where it should get to is glory. You are stepping into your glory. You are stepping into your glory. Can you prophetically do it? Mash around, mash around. It's my glory done. 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 My glory done is here. It's my glory done. My works are visible. My labors are visible. My skills are visible. My trades are visible. The heirs that I make are visible. The shoes that I sell are visible. The events that I cover, I am visible. People are calling me from left, right, and center. My family is visible. My kids are recognized in their school. My kids are 10 best in their classes. All the indices of glory, I take delivery of them. Are you prophesying? Remember, I told you 2024 is a prophetic season. So these are some of the things we do. Can you speak to your life? Look at your hands. The works of my hands are visible. Ayabala kusiata, regetekete balakata. Anama Suprada, Shekete Balata, Ayada, 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 Inamashada Balagadaya. Maybe you are into IT, maybe you are into tech. I am on demand, I am on up demand. People are calling me, people are looking for me. My works are not discredited. Akata Baradabaya. Maybe you are a supplier. Maybe you are a supplier. People are calling me to supply. People are calling me to supply. Are you making prophecies? Manamana Shadabaya. You are into ministry. The fame of my ministry spread. The work of my hands spread. Men are looking for me. Men are demanding for my messages. Men are demanding for my books. Men are demanding for my article. Maybe you are a writer. Men are patronizing your writings. They are calling you to write for them. Whatever you do is magnified. Maybe you are a caterer. They are calling you. They are calling you. They are calling me. Lay your hands on your head. I am not hidden. I am not in hideout. My glory has come. Men look for me. They call my name. They call the name of my business. Amen. Listen to this. God cannot be in your life and your life is less. One of the things God wants to do in your life this year is to take away that limit from your mind. How can you carry your product to the market and say, if 3 or 4 people can just buy it, if I can just see my transport fare to go back home, I call that devil a liar. The Bible says Moses was covered until they could no longer cover him because he was a proper child. The anointing for property, the anointing for properly is coming on you in the name of Jesus. You will no longer be hidden. When glory comes, expansion comes. In Isaiah 53, he said, you will expand to the left. 54, you will expand to the left. You will expand to the right. You will remove your fallow ground and you will make more depth into it. You see, you are not too small to hold properties. When the children of Israel was to leave Egypt, they caught them and begin to give them silver and gold. I have heard story of when people want to die, they call strangers and will their properties to them. You don't need to buy it with your money. When grace comes alive, your memory becomes active and somebody will just be thinking about you. Where is that young girl? Where is that young man? Where is that young woman? Come on, enter into your glory in the name of Jesus. It's my season. It's my season. There is how God designed life to be lived. There is how God designed life to be lived. The reason people struggle is because of their environmental conditioning. this is how it is in my family. This is how they do it in Ofa. And then you make void the promises of God because of your environmental conditioning. There are some people that God even wants to bless. They begin to reduce the size of the blessing because they consider themselves as unqualified for it. Maybe because of their past. When the Bible talks about miry clay is symbolic of discouragement, hurts of the past, bad past experience. These things have a way of covering the glory of God in a man's life. It's not that you cannot be great, but something inside of you has been programmed into your past. That when God is showing the beauty of your future, you are reminding him the problems of your past. Who am I? This is what I did in my past. And it is the handwork of the devil. God said, arise, shine, because your light has come. What is light? Light is revelation. That revelation is the consciousness that see, oh, we can get to the promised land. I decree over your life, you get into the promised land. God understands times and seasons. God knows the expiry date of adversity. No, the truth is this. There are some conditions we get into as a result of our errors and mistakes. I'll give you an example of one. In Judges, the Bible says the children of Israel did something so wrong to God, and God gave them to the Midianites. But guess what? God terminated it. After they had suffered and suffered and suffered, Gideon went to a corner and began to ask God, God, where is the signs that our fathers told us about? Where are the mighty works you did? And God said, go in this thy mind. What God did in that verse of scripture, God said, enough. Midianite has mesmerized you people enough. Now it is time for you to see my beautification. I speak God's word over someone here. You made mistakes in your past and the devil used it to ridicule you. The devil used it to send you into oblivion, but by the mercy of God, God is terminating, God is bringing an expiry to your adversity in the name of Jesus. This year, He will reward every of your tears with greatness and favor. The show of Israel, God started it and God ended it. Please, the times may be hard. The times may be hard. We live in a time that it looks like things are difficult. Currently, we are in a season in life where what people would do before and have plenty money. Now, if you do it, even though the money is plenty, but the needs are also plenty and they are expensive to meet. Imagine in those days, we were in school, we paid 2,500 naira school fee, federal school. These days, you want to pay school fee, federal school sometimes, 100,000, 200,000, everything is 1,000,000. The truth is this, now it looks like we labor, we sell. It's not that we are not selling, it's not that we are not getting salary, but somehow, because of the challenges around us, it looks as though there is hardship. But let me show you one secret to live in the days of hardship. Fix your gaze on He who understands times and seasons. This is not the time for you to ridicule God and laugh church. I want to show you something very profound. Whenever there is hardship, we are in a season of hardship, either triggered by wrongdoings, wickedness of the wicked, or whatever is the cause. One of the things we see in scriptures is that God's people enjoy exemption. Say with me, God's covenant of exemption. Bring it up. Genesis chapter 26. The Bible says there was famine in the land. And then Isaac made up his mind that he was going to go to a place called Gerar. He was going to go to Egypt. But look at what the Bible says. One to read, everybody. Then the Lord appeared to him and said, "Do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land of which I shall tell you." Let's read verse 3. See what he said. He said, "Dwell in this land, and I will be with you, and I will bless you." The difference between the hardship of unbelievers and the prosperity of believers is God's word in the midst of the hardship. So write it down. The word of the Lord. The word of the Lord. Write it down. What separated the seasons was the word of the Lord. Why is it that whenever things are hard, believers complain? We complain. One of the things that God wants to use me to teach you this year is how not to complain. You shouldn't talk like unbelievers. No, the truth is this. Why are you a believer? You are a believer. The word believer means someone who believes the word of God. So the truth is this. Before every hardship, or in every hardship, God always sends his word. And when you receive the word of God and install it into your heart, it guides your utterances during hardship. I don't expect you to keep saying things are hard, things are hard, things are hard. When you do that, you create a system of hardship around you, because you are the child of God. And the Bible says, where the word of a king is, there is power. Look at your neighbor, say, "You are a king. You are a king. You are a priest." You are telling the ladies that they are a queen, Abby. No. Tell her you are a king. Male and female created them. So whether male or female, you are a king. Say, "I'm a king." And what did the Bible say? Where the word of a king is, there is what? There is power. What is power? Dynamic ability to change things. So if the word is saying things are hard, and then you go to your shop or you go to your kitchen and say, this hardship self, what are you creating? You are creating a system of hardship around you. Now, things are hard not because God wants them to be hard. Let me show you something you don't understand. The reason things are hard is because unbelievers and wicked people are applying wicked policies and wicked things. So, God may not be able to change the mind of the wicked, but God will empower the hands of the righteous. You didn't hear what I said. In the midst of hardship, God may not be able to change the mind of Pharaoh, but he can increase the prosperity of the children of Israel. So what most believers are expecting is they are expecting that the government should just change things. No, we don't live by the government of the Federal Republic of Nigeria. We live by the government of the kingdom wherein we are citizens. And in that kingdom, we utter things by the words of our mouth. So my words have power. Drugs are expensive. But when you declare the word of God, God will preserve you from falling sick. As things becomes hard, a thought flashed into my spirit last night. As things becomes hard, how many of you know that crime rates increases? Just like during the December, we were receiving a lot of messages. In fact, there is one of our colleagues who parked the car somewhere and then came and then discovered that the car has been stolen. I don't know if they found the car till now. But let me tell you God's covenant. Nobody will steal what belongs to you. That's how God fulfills his covenant in the midst of hardship. You just bought a phone, 250,000 naira. And then you went to bank to withdraw money and then you just mistakenly left it somewhere and then somebody carted away the phone. Do you think you will be happy? It's hardship in hardship, isn't it? But by the mercies of God, he will preserve your things from getting lost. That is why, listen, you shouldn't be conscious of the hardship. Because when you are conscious of the hardship, this is what happens. You create opportunity for the hardship to come around you. And it can come in different ways. Your appliance is breaking down. You just came and discovered that your TV has just made poof. There is how, as believers, we are to think. Safety is of God. Stop professing hardship. Because sometimes the hardship will not mean that they will not pay you salary. That's not what it means. Because in hardship they still pay your salary. But the hardship means that the money cannot attend to what it should attend to. But by the mercies of God's glory, you begin to declare, where there is a casting down, for me there is a lifting up. And as you make that declaration, maybe what is to happen is that something will just break down. As you make that declaration, either wisdom or divine protection will just come and that thing will not break down again. And God preserves you. I decree over your life, you are preserved. As a student, hardship could mean that, imagine you wrote an exam. I mean, you're supposed to pass and then move on. And then one lecturer just decides to frustrate your life. And then you have to repay school fee. And then by the mercies of God, it delivers you from it. Gives you success. Majority of the times, when we talk about the blessings of God, most of us think it's just people giving us money. Many a times, the blessings of God is not only what we receive. Many a times, the blessings of God is what God protects us from losing. You will not lose anything by the mercies of God. Stay with the word. Hold on to the word of God. I've been trying to get out of it, but God keeps bringing it to me. He said, tell them to hold on to my word. This is not the time for you to be lazy with Bible study. In the midst of adversities, God said something to us in Isaiah. He said, even though the adversity increase, I will not stop you from assessing your teachers. He said, you will hear a word from behind. I decree over your life, in this season, God's word will not be scarce. It's worse if well is scarce and God's word too is scarce in your life. Double wahala. You are not a dead body. I am an alive body. I will not see wahala. Say, I will not see wahala. The priority of a glorious life is initiated by an understanding that we are born of God. And then we understand that the God who gives birth to us understands times and seasons. And then the third thing I said is that times are seasons are administrated by the word of God. And God said, and God said, and God said. Go read the children of Israel. Every time there is adversity, when the pressure becomes much, God will send them a prophet. And when that prophet comes, he speaks God's word. What does God's word contain? God's word contains hope. God's word contains promises. God's word contains principles. God's word contains instructions. And number five, God's word contains direction. I'll explain them briefly. God sends his word. His word brings hope. No matter what you're going through, please, in your tears, connect to the word of God. It was Job that said, there is hope for a tree. Even though it is cut down, it will root out again. He said, by the scent of water, it will sprout. The scent of water might just be the word of God. Say, I'm not hopeless. God's word contains principles. It contains instructions. Do this. Do that. Please, some of you might just be in the bedroom, might just be in the taxi, might just be when you are doing your morning study. God will tell you to do some things. He will tell you to do some things. But some of you might just tell you, okay, pick your phone now, call your mom, pray for your mom. Please, don't say, what will I tell my mom? Call your mom, obey the instruction. That call might just be a deliverance from the siege of death. Instructions. Sometimes it might be ideas. Just praying and then a thought is coming. Why not do this, do that? Why not start this business? Why not ask this person? Why not pay part money for that land? Why not do this? You see, one of the reasons we don't enjoy prosperity is because we don't respond in obedience. One of the problems adversity brings is awareness to the problems. You know, when there is problem and there is adversity in that period, you become so aware of the problem. So the awareness of the problem can deride the word of God to your heart. And sometimes God speaks to us in forms of ideas, suggestions. Tell yourself, I will obey. So the priority of a glorious life is a life that understands that the word of God is our navigating system. Now, God's word, it says, it directs you. It sends a word. Sometimes it can be through dream. I had several visions towards the end of the year, and I think one or two other persons had the same visions. I saw baskets of fruits, baskets of harvest. There was one I saw, someone was bringing plenty of plantain. It was too much. He was calling friends to come and help her to carry. And God said, tell them, I will bless the work of their hands this year. You will not return with losses. You will return with increase. This is how it's going to work. The last deal will give birth to the next deal. It shall be overlapping. This is the word of God. And then he said, expound to them the place and power of priority. The priority of a glorious life is one who understands that God understands times and seasons. God ministers through his word. But for me, as the one who God sends his word to, what should be my responsibility? Look at your neighbor and say, prioritize. What do we mean by priority as we go into the series proper? The word priority means the most important thing. The word priority means the most important thing you have to do or deal with. The word priority means the most important thing. If God says your glory dawns, what should be your priority? What should be the priority of a glorious life? The word priority means the most important thing. The most important thing that you must do or you must attend to. So priority means the most important thing that must be done and the most important thing that must be dealt with before any other thing. What priority is saying is there are other things, so, but this one is most important. The reason people struggle in hardship is because they don't set spiritual priorities. I'll say that again. In our season of hardship, sometimes the Lord was saying that there's going to be a large scale release of terrestrial hardship, like massive difficulties. It's going to be so hard, difficult. A number of believers will give up on God, give up on going to church. And when God sends his word of prophecies, it's because he wants us to take something serious. And this time around, we are not taking things serious. We are taking a thing serious. That's priority. To survive in these times, listen to me, you must understand the principle of priority. You must understand this. We cannot afford to be ignorant of what our priority must be. If we truly understand and relate with the times and seasons that we are currently in, we cannot be ignorant of what we should be. I was reflecting on something. Is the fact that a lot of things are currently being redefined in our world today. Internet is redefining a lot of things. What people will do before easily and see results, these days you will sweat and sweat, you will not see results. And then what people would not want to get results from, somebody will just do it and woo, in quotes, it goes viral. One of the things that is happening right now is that internet is changing a lot of things. Now, one of the things that internet is changing our attention span. Write it down. Our attention span. The internet is changing our attention span. One of the impediments to glorious living is your inability to understand that the internet is changing a lot of things. Trust me, if you have data, there are enough contents that can keep you busy from morning to night. Am I correct? You can wake up in the morning, and if you have data on your phone, you can be with your phone tonight. And there are enough content to keep you busy. You can watch The Tribe Called Judah. After you finish that, you can watch Breath of Life. After you finish that, you can watch highlights of all the weekend's Premier League action. And then after that, you can now begin to go from one skit to the other. And you know, these skits are lined. As soon as you finish one, another one is waiting. As soon as you finish that one, another one is waiting. And as you are going, before you go now, you will not go into one person that has decided to make himself naked. And if you are the type that don't have self-control, before you know, you start feeling like someone that wants to have sex. And before you know, you move. And that day is gone. And then you can do that over and over and over and over again. But this is what the Spirit of God told me. He said, check. There is one problem. There's a high level of depression. Sometimes these contents can make us discouraged. Because you can just sleep and then all of a sudden you're like, what am I even living? I mean, just going through status. You just saw three of your classmates getting wedded the same time in December. And then you look at yourself. Virtual information have become so viral because the valued information are not installed in our heart. Our hearts have become so fragile because we have left the place of priority. We feed with things that are not important. Skits are just to make you laugh. Laughter is an emotional tendency. And one of the things we are taught in the school of emotions is that emotions are not stable. Someone said, laugh away your sorrow. That's what someone said. But do we really laugh away our sorrow? What do we see? Depression. Discouragement. I'll show you this third one. Feeling of not doing enough. You are selling food. You are a food vendor. And then you go to the Instagram of some other persons and you see all the food and places they have cooked for. And you despise your humble beginning. When will I start cooking and they are calling me for 5-10 shows in a weekend? Because in one of the pages you checked, you saw a young girl who is into cooking like you is already saying many things that wants you to believe. One problem with the internet is that it's a system of make-believe. Make-believe. Some people can even go and borrow other people's car and snap and say, come and see God's goodness. And she knows it is the talk for her mind. They just conclude, this person is doing peanuts. You already have 2-3 cars. What am I doing with my life, self? No, that's the feeling the internet brings. It's a web. It creates a system of you are not doing enough. I mean, even in ministry, if you don't have a covenant with God, a prophetic navigation for your ministry, you can go to the internet and decide that you have not done anything. Because you compare it with what you see. And then number four, it leaves you with the threat that others are doing better than you. Can't you see? But most of the time, sir, the only difference is that they have a better phone than you. Like someone once wrote, they have a better content creator than you. It's not that they are doing better than you, but they are doing it as make-believe. To create a system of recognition. And that's why real life is not lived on the internet. Real life is lived from a place of priority. What do we mean by priority? It simply means what is important to you. What is important to you? For some people, what is important to them is the number of likes they generate. For some, what is important to them is the level of influence they are able to generate in life. And then, real tangible influences. If it now produces like, the like does not bring satisfaction. It's only a nudge. You can still do better. So that's why someone else's progress should not discourage you. There are degrees of glory. As we go on in this series, I will show to you. Even scripture said it. He said, the moon and the star, they differ in glory. And even the stars, they differ in glory. Star 1 and star 2 do not have the same level of glory. But all of them are stars because the glory of God is on them. Listen to this, men and brethren. Stop comparing yourself with others because we do not have the same dimension of glory. That comparison is what is creating depression. That comparison is what is creating discouragement. Because you are a star. That other person is a star. But our glories are not what? Are not the same. So I'm satisfied with my progress. It is not complacency. Listen to this. Contentment is not complacency. Contentment is refusing to compare with the success of others. I have my resources at my disposal. And I'm using it to produce the kind of results that God wants me to produce. And after all said and done, when you return from work, you go back and say, Father, thank you. That's why the Bible says the step of the just is a what? It's a shining light. Now, the joy of it is that you will do better than yesterday. How many of you know that if we live longer, we will make progress than we made yesterday? I know you are claiming that someone else is doing a lot of things. Maybe his sales are increasing. He's selling more units than you. Keep selling. Keep selling. Sell to today, give thanks. Keep selling. Because even that person that you are looking at and you are trying to compare yourself with, there was a time he or she didn't sell more than two. He didn't come to tell you. He only kept on going. So say with me, I will not be discouraged. That's why don't live your life around the internet. I don't know about others, but I have this mindset towards the internet that most things I see on the internet, I don't believe them. It takes time for me to believe anything I see on the internet. I just don't know why. Maybe it's because of the way I frame my mind. I'm not telling you it's a lie, yo. That news is a lie. I don't tell you it's a lie. It's true. But I just don't know. There is this part of me that don't believe what is superficial. Because people can go any extent to make believe. It's your life that matters. And that's why if you want to live a glorious life, there is one priority you must not joke with. The most important thing a believer is to seek after. We are coming to the priority now. The most important thing a believer is to seek after is the influence and manifestation of God's presence in his life. That's the most important thing. That's the most important thing. The psalmist said, in your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Why was David in the cave of Adullam and he was not comparing himself with King Saul? Why was David in the field feeding sheep and getting messed up with their dungs? And he was not wishing he was in the palace. Look up, everybody. We never saw any part in scriptures where Joseph wished he was the prime minister. Let me tell you a secret. He was enjoying God all the way. Say to yourself, I will enjoy God all the way. Say, I will enjoy God all the way. You know what Paul said? In Corinthians, he said, our light affliction is for a moment. What is the momentariness of light affliction? It's because of the light of his presence that we spend our life in. The reason why you are comparing yourself with your friends, the reason why the thought of depression is always solid, is because you have left the presence of God. Because there is something about the presence of God, it creates satisfaction. You know, there are times you are going through some challenges in life. Your friends are like, you are not even feeling like you are going anything through anything. The truth is, I'm not feeling it, because his presence is joy forevermore. Every time you get out of the proximity of God's presence, you begin to think about those things that you don't have. Most of the times, it's our friends that remind us of our predicament. And the reason is because the moment the presence of God left Adam and Eve, check what happened. They knew they were naked. They knew they were naked. Amen. Have you been in that state in life as a believer where you didn't even know there is only two trousers you have? How many of you understand what I'm talking about? I mean, you were so conscious of God that you don't even know it's only two trousers you have. That consciousness is the priority that God wants to carry, wants you to carry. That is the priority of a glorious life. The consciousness of the influence of God. What is that consciousness? I'll show you one. When God wants me to have it, it will come. You didn't get what I said. It's a consciousness. So I don't need to compare with my friends. I don't need to be discouraged. I mean, that's why when God bless my friends, I'm excited. Amen. I'm excited because it's their turn. And when it's their turn, it's their time. And understand that God is the God of times and season. And when my own turn comes too, my time will accompany it. That's what the presence of God does. I mean, why will a believer be depressed? He's not conscious of the presence of God. How many of you know that the presence of God is full? It fools something. The Bible says the glory of God came on the temple and the king couldn't do anything. How many of you know that there are days you can be around the presence of God and you won't even remember if you have eaten? That's where we are to live. It's not easy. Let's be realistic. It's not easy. But when you make it a conscious commitment, God has a way of aiding you. Everybody say aiding. Be aiding you. We are not designed to struggle. Take a tree from the soil, it dies. Take a fish from the water, it dies. Take the believer from the proximity of God's presence, it begins to malfunction. The reason why people go into depression is because there is no sense of fulfillment in them. And let me tell you this, men and brethren, fulfillment only comes from the domiciling of God's presence in your heart. When God's presence gets filled in your heart, it creates a system of fulfillment. Do you know how you feel when you've not prayed for 3-4 days? You feel so empty. That's why this year 2024, if you want to see God's glory in your business, let me tell you what you do. Carry his presence to your business. If you want to see God's power in your marriage, carry his presence to your marriage. If you want to see God's presence in your academics, carry his presence. How do you carry the presence of God to your marriage? Impose the word of God there. How do you carry the word of God to your business? Put the word of God there. Go to your shop and speak to every goods in your shop. This is my season of glory. Everyone that steps in here sees you. They see you and they buy you. That's speaking the word of God. The Bible says, by faith we know that this word was framed by the word of God. Rather than complaining, speak light. Speak light. I heard the testimony of a man. He went on prayers. I mean, things happen, no? There are things that happen in this world. People can cast darkness upon someone's product. How many of you know that? How many of you know that? I was told the story of someone in Edo State. Went to visit someone and came back, and every of the frozen food, 3 deep freezer, I collected loan to fill them. Light they work, fridge they work, fish they rotten. Things they happen now. Hello? Fridge they work, fish they swear. Fridge they work, chicken they swear.
Say, no, this one don't pass normal thing. Began to seek for answers. And that was when they were told him. That's when they told him that it was projected. Somebody projected it in. He borrow, sell, and the more they buy, the more they spoil. Now, if somebody can project into goods and they will spoil, I am a king. I can project into goods and they will sell. That's how it works. You have to understand it. Anything a believer is doing in this life is a spiritual warfare. Get it straight. That's why you can't be a believer and be carnal about the works of your hands. In KCC this year, especially January, February, March, we are looking at exploring skills and gifts. Gift. Most people think that because you are gifted, you'll be celebrated. Go read scriptures. In scriptures, the most gifted people are always the most attacked. Moses was born a proper child, but Pharaoh just woke up and said, kill every child in that age. Now, because of Moses. Jesus was born a proper child. The wise men saw his star. Listen to this. Every time the demons in your generation, they steal your star, they gang up and frustrate it. Some, they will use landlord to frustrate it. Some, they will use agent. Agents will carry you to a shop, a house. Under the house, they don't bury like 5 goats inside. You know, sometimes as believers, we are not sensitive. I was reading a story. A lady was sharing what happened. They took her to a house. I don't know if it's Lekki, somewhere in Lagos. He said, all this while, people used to say, we get dark house. She no believe. He said, when she entered the house, for night like this, she go to hear voices. She go come inside kitchen like this. She don't see anything. Plate, the table, don't fall, come down. Who fall? I don't know. She now went into fasting and prayers. Are you following me? It was in fasting and prayers she saw clearly that the house was dedicated to a demonic activity. And then she enforced the provisions of the word of what? Of God. Where the word of a king is, there is what? There is power. I know. I'm not going to pack them off from the house. Maybe I pay with my money. I know. We don't excuse the devil. The devil excuses us. That's the word of God. And all of a sudden, she said, after the fasting and prayer, she made some declaration. Every of those noises, what? Ceased. When power meets power, the lower power bows and the higher power prevails. Listen to this, believers. Business and anything that involves waiting people go see is a spiritual warfare. You get lines of shop, or you get lines of artists, or you get lines of students. When I won't go competition, you think say all of them go just sit down, they look you. My younger brother told me that in his class, in ND was the best student. When he came to HND, there was a guy that came. They knew the guy. His father is a popular herbalist. The first exam he wrote, now migraine, he take him off from hall. What does the young man do? The young man, his father is a herbalist. So what he does is that during exam, he gets, there's this projection in witchcraft. There's something called projection. So they will project the thing, and everything every other person has read will be entering his head. This is not film trick. They will go blank. He did not only go blank, he left the exam hall with headache. He called me one day. I said, guy, this thing sounds strange. I said, but we are more stranger. Glory to God. We take up our oracles in the realm of the spirit. The reason why it looks as if the forces of darkness are prevailing in our days of adversity is because we don't have the word of God loaded in our hearts. Because Satan does not yet cry. That lady that said those stories, she was always crying. She will cry. She will leave the house. When she picked the word of God and saw authority in scripture, she went back to the house and said, I paid for this house. I'm the legal occupant of this house. It doesn't matter who dug it. If they were dug in the realm of the spirit, in the realm of the spirit, I'm a king and I adjourn you now. Get out and don't disturb me. If I leave, you can come back. But as long as I'm here, I'm the one in charge. Say, I carry God. That's what it means. So he went back to the place of prayers. He began to pray. I challenge every one of us. Now, these are the priorities of glory. Stay in the consciousness of God. Carry Him. He's in you. Everywhere you enter. How can you go to your study and leave God in your bedroom? Tell your neighbor, carry Him everywhere. Let's be on our feet. Carry Him anywhere you go.
We hope that you have been instructed and edified by the teaching from God's servant, Pastor Stephen Enoku. If you have need for more edifying teachings, you can download them from our ministry's website, www.kdclovemercy.com/sermons. For counseling, feedbacks, and should you want to support the ministry or be a partner to what the Lord is doing through us, send us a mail through kdclovemercychurch@gmail.com. We look forward to hearing from you. Keep taking charge.